do without the drums.
Yes.
It sounds awful somehow. Yes, it sounds awful, I don't know why. So, let's start off by this. Number one, let me let the community know out there that was not Neil playing the drums, that was the D-team. So I apologize to the church all the way around. I want them to know, because if it was terrible, it was me. Now I am the D-team. So I apologize that all the way around. No, that was the A-team praise and worship. But all the way around, we've got the B-team tonight because Pastor's not here, so I have the B-team two times. My sister Brooke is over there looking at me, wanting to know how to end the song, and I'm looking at her and saying, please stop singing, because I just want to hide right now. Amen? That's all right. I'm still happy to be in the house of God on this evening. I have joy, unspeakable joy. The joy that I have is not because I'm up before you. I just have joy because God is good. Amen. So, Pastor is out of town. And I had a feeling, I don't know why, I have a minister friend, and I'm not going to call their name, as Pastor says, to protect the innocent. But I have a minister friend that is here tonight on this evening, and my minister friend, so most of the time if I'm up speaking or even if I'm doing praise and worship, and I say something about my minister friend, he's here tonight with his family. You probably don't know who it is, but my minister friend is here tonight. So that's probably who I'm referring to. And I just said, I don't know why, that watch him happen to come on tonight when Pastor's out of town. But my minister friend and I, we get together, we do some Bible studies, and we actually probably have a better service when we're in the man cave together. Because this stuff that Pastor is going over, I'm telling you, I try to adapt to my environment, even in church sometimes, not all the time. So sometimes when everyone else is subdued, I try to contain myself a little bit. I'm really over there, my sister knows too, because she's probably like me, my sister, BK up here, in that, man, it's so good, and we're feeling it so good inside, and we want to just jump out, because it's so good. But the church is subdued a little bit, so I try to stay subdued. But when my minister friend is over in the main cave, amen, we're both just worshiping together. And I'm a little louder than I am even in church. So my minister friend comes on a night where Pastor's out of town. Isn't that good? So in the meantime, Pastor didn't say you have the words tonight. Pastor told me that I had to do Genesis chapter 7. Yeah, that was my goal too. For those that didn't see, Minister Bloomfield's face lit up. Minister, that was my look as well. Amen. So again, the B team. But I still found out some interesting things, and it's good to read the word, amen, and see again some things that you've read, and when you go over it again, some things maybe you missed out on the first time. So, knowing that I had to do Genesis chapter 7, I had to do a little reconnaissance mission, okay? What I mean by that is, I had to go and look and see what it is that I have to go over, amen? So I had to do a little recon. So I had to go out before, you know, to see what I'm getting into. So when I did some recon, okay, I started to put a few things down that I was coming up with. It was pretty good, right? But whoever watches that show, how do you call it? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You know how you have lifelines? Yeah, that's a great name. So I had to phone a few friends. I even tried to phone a friend now. You know how Pastor says this is not just a novel and the Bible you can't read as a novel. Amen. I found out even Siri doesn't know the word of God that well. I tried to tell you ahead of time, because there's one verse that we'll get to. It talks about 15 cubits, and I wanted to ask Sister Siri what 15 cubits was. Sister Siri was asking the same question I was asking Sister Siri. So I guess I had to warn a friend that, came up with a little something here, and I think it will be interesting. Amen. I have a question for you. You know how we came up in Sunday school, we read the scriptures and things. Remember how many groups of animals came into the ark? Two by two, right? We all agree with that? Everyone, we all agree. And you know how Pastor said we have to read the scriptures? When I reread the scriptures, I found out that it wasn't, now the attention will probably know why I'm looking at it later, but I found out it wasn't just two by two. And we're going to see that in the Word of God, amen? And so that's why it's good to read the Word and read it again, and you find some things that you didn't realize maybe the first time. So with no further ado, we will attempt to get into this little, actually one more thing. I said no further ado, but one more thing. Please don't sit here and bombard me with a million questions. Remember, I had to reach out to a few lifelines? So I'm going to do the best I can, all right? If you have any questions, it's not the time to sit here and make Minister Simon feel more clownish than he already does, and not when you try to play the drums, all right? Amen. Let's get into the scriptures, amen. Actually, let us just bow our heads real quick and say a word of prayer. Dear God, Lord God, we count it a privilege, Lord, to be counted in that number, Lord. We count it a privilege, Lord, to call you Lord God. Understanding the meaning of Lord God is that relationship that you have with man. Amen. And you're not just God, our creator, but you're our Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, for adopting us into, hallelujah, your family, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we ask that you bless one this evening, Lord God. Please feed us with food convenient for our souls, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this introspective look at your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just opening it up to us and starting to crystallize to us your word, Lord God. Continue to open our hearts to receive your word with meekness, for his name is able to save our souls, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So with that said, we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 1. Amen. If you don't have it, it's going to be on the screen. And I didn't give you you don't have the fancy things and all that. I didn't give you the scriptures, but we'll work with it. Amen. The B team, remember that. Alright, verse 1 reads, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Verse 2, "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." My plan was to have a different scripture as the scripture reading. So I'm a little flustered with it. So that will be the reading. I'm sorry. So you may be seated. Thank you. Amen. We bless. God is blessed already. However you do that, say it. I'll get it right. Amen. So I'm sorry I didn't even observe it while standing, but thank you for standing for the reading of the word. So verse 2, I think I heard a few odds. Is that correct? Why did I hear a few odds? So, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Okay, so when he's talking this, he's talking groupings. So seven groups of two, of male and female, of the clean. Now that's not right. Now I have to do chapter 7, and that's shut out right away. I'm like, Lord have mercy, how come I never realized that? Right? So of every clean beast, by sevens, the male and his females, and then of beasts that are not clean, by two, the male and his female. So that was the first thing. And then I said, I wonder what that means, the clean and the unclean. You know, is there some way we can clarify what the clean beasts are and what the unclean beasts are? Would that be a question of yours? Right? Because the seven for the clean, there's a distinction. So, if we turn right now to Leviticus, chapter 11, let's turn there real quick. We'll start to get an idea of the difference between clean and unclean. Amen. So, Leviticus chapter 11, we're going to look at verse 4 through 8. Okay? Tell me what you have. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Verse 4 reads, nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof, and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. This is the word to the Jews. And it's interesting how the Jews' mindset was toward unclean beasts. Amen. So, unclean beasts, I come to find out even further, was anything without scales. So, for instance, shrimp, lobster, clam, catfish, these are all considered unclean. A lot of birds, the bats, unclean. Owls, vultures, all scavenger types are considered unclean. So it was just a question of mine I had when I started to read that, and then I needed to start to look into what unclean and what clean, you know, the difference between the two. And then let's just real quickly take a look at Acts chapter 10, if we can, and we're going to look at verse 9 through 14. So, Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 14. And this is just, again, to look at the mindset that the Jews had concerning just unclean beasts. And so why the distinction right here in Genesis, you know, the second verse of chapter 7, of the clean and the unclean. And Jesus came from a tribe of what?
Judah.
So Jesus was a Jew. So we're just taking a look at what the Jews, how they looked at unclean. Alright? So verse 9 reads, on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. While they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to them, rise, Peter, kill, and eat. Verse 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. So we're just taking a look at just the mindset, again, that the Jews had concerning, you know, clean versus unclean. And so in chapter 2, in verse 2, that was just an interesting footnote, all right? So we're just going to read all. Let's go to verse 3. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Right there, if you just read it, you know, our pastor talks about, you know, we can't read the Bible just as a novel. He talks constantly to us that everything has been. So in verse 4, it has a much deeper insight than the surface. As this was the first mention of rain. Amen. Prior to this, there had never been a mention of rain before. Okay, prior to this, prior to God telling Noah, okay, about the rain coming for 40 days and 40 nights, man didn't know what rain was. Okay? Prior to this, the dew, I wrote down some things. Prior to this, the dew came up from the earth toward the earth. So there was never a rain before. So when God is pointing this out to Noah, amen, if he doesn't receive it by faith, amen, God cannot use Noah. If Noah doesn't move by faith, he can't be used. But God called Noah for a specific purpose. Amen. Noah and his family were saved for a specific reason. Amen. God saw righteousness. Amen. In him. Amen. So this was the first mention of rain. So if we go to Genesis, the second chapter, we're just gonna read what we just said. Genesis chapter 2, I think verse 6. We're just gonna take a look at this. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the face of the ground. So this is how, prior to God speaking to Noah concerning the rain, and prior to the flood coming with the rain, that was the first mention of rain. The earth was watered from the dew from the ground. Do we understand?
Amen.
So now, if we can look at Hebrews, the 11th chapter, really quick. Hebrews chapter 11. This is when the Bible starts to open up to us and just has a deeper meaning than what we originally saw when you start to study the scriptures, amen? So, in verse 4, again, don't turn to it, stay where you're at. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Okay? Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 reads, and this is in what we call faith's hall of fame. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet. Are we starting to put that together? So, he's being warned of God of things not having seen yet. This is what's taking place in chapter 7, verse 4. God is warning him,
amen,
that he's going to send the flood, amen, rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. But prior to this, there was no mention of rain. They didn't know what rain was. So he had to receive it by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And just to read the rest of that scripture. So, again, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith.
Amen.
So again, if Noah didn't receive this in faith, God couldn't use Noah.
Amen.
But God, Lord have mercy. You know how it talks about speaking things that were not as though they were? How are that? Are we starting to see how God moves? We serve an amazing God. Amen. So we can be confident if God tells us something, we don't have to understand. mentioned before.
Yes.
He said it's going to rain. I'm going to destroy the earth. 40 days and 40 nights it's going to rain. What is rain? Well, start building the ark, Noah.
May have looked like.
Amen. This reads, The ark was as long as 30-story building is high. So it was as long as a 30-story foot building is high. Amen. About 450 feet. And it was about 75 feet wide. 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. 45 feet high. What is described is not really a boat, but a well-ventilated barge meant only to float and not to sail. Okay? After all, an ark is a chest, not a ship. This refers to the shoebox shape of the vessel. So we're just describing what this ark looked like. Shoebox-shaped vessel. Amen. And remember, specific. This is how he wanted it made. The ark, roughly the shape of a shoebox, was plenty large, about the size of the Titanic. Amen. And had a cubic wide opening, 18 inches, all the way around the top. So a cubit is 18 inches. That's where I came up right now. It was not until 1858 that a boat bigger than the ark was built. The ark was certainly big enough to do the job, it says. If the ark carried two of every family of animal, there were around 700 pairs of animals. But if the ark carried two of every species of animals, there were around 35,000 pairs of animals. The average size of a land animal is smaller than a sheep. That's the average size of a land animal. The ark could carry 136,560 sheep in half of its capacity, leaving plenty of room for people, food, water, and whatever other provisions were needed. But we know it wasn't too many provisions needed because God had provided. Amen. God had not yet told Noah why he must build an ark. He just said, build. At that point, he was just telling them to build. Amen. He said, I'm going to destroy the people. He hadn't even said rain yet, chapter 6. He hadn't said rain yet. So he just said, I need you to build an ark. Amen. And Noah just moved. Did everything exactly according to the word of God, what God commanded. Alright, so I just wanted to point that out. And I'm going to go back to chapter 7, verse 5 again. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Amen. Verse 6. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So Noah was 600 years old. And I put, remember that Noah warned the people for 120 years. So that means when Noah started warning the people, he was 480 years old. Why was he warning the people? Because God told him to warn the people. If God told us to do something, I can answer the question myself. Let's all ask ourselves a question. Could you wait 120 years and just continue to pursue after what he told you to do when it hasn't happened in 120 years? Just imagine that. So at 480 years old, Noah started to warn the people. Why? Because God told him to warn the people. He said the waters didn't come, the flood didn't come until he was 600 years old. How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways are past finding out. 120 years and no flood, but he just continued to preach to the people. What a mighty God was to him. Amen. Let's just read on a little bit. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with them, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, of, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Amen. Verse 6. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The windows of heaven were opened, meaning to start the rain. But it first reads that the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Amen. And the windows of heaven were open. Now, what are they talking about? The fountains of the great deep opened up. I submit that when we're talking, these things are, this is like geysers or like underground streams. So what I didn't realize until, again, reading through this again, is when we think, you know, God sent the flood and the you know, he destroyed the earth by flood, right? You think of just the rain came down, and that's where all the water came. These people couldn't go anywhere. The rain came down, the waters came up. Amen? So, God was angry. Amen? God was very angry. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. We said God is a very specific God. Amen? 40 days and 40 nights. As the number 40 was always God's number of testing and proving me. So, remember he said each scripture, everything in the Word of God has meaning. So if we're just reading through this, we don't really put this all together, but when you start to really study the scriptures, amen, then you start to see things open up. And that number 40, when we see it, we know it's the number that God used to prove and test man. Remember how long did the children of Israel wander around in the wilderness? 40 years. There's that number again. It's the number of proving, the number of testing man. So this is the amazing thing about getting the teaching that we're getting, is now we start to put things together ourselves. Amen? Forty days. Amen. And what was happening when he was in the wilderness? He was being tested. And that, there's that number again. She didn't have a microphone, but she pointed out that's when Jesus was being tested for 40 days. He was in the wilderness. He being tested. Amen. For 40 days and 40 nights. That number 40 again, the number of testing man. These things are for a reason, for a purpose. And that's the thing about reading. And in fact, you know how I said I'm doing a little reconnaissance? So I think it would be good for us, and I noticed this when I was doing this, is if we know what chapter he's doing next, if we could went ahead and read it and try to extract before the service, if we do our own reconnaissance, write some things down and we'll bring it in. Amen. And when he goes over it, just as he hits spots, you'll see, okay, dang, I didn't miss it. But when he hits things that you're going to write down, then you can start to see, oh man, I'm in. And then you can start to understand how you can study the scripture. Does that make sense? I just wanted to throw that out there, because that's what I was doing with this. I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to start doing. If we know what chapter he's going to, I'm going to go ahead and read it ahead of time, take down some notes, and see what I want to try to get over and say. Amen, but we'll see, you know. The number of testing and proving men. Amen. And verse 13 reads, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. You remember how many people that is? That's 8 people, including Noah, right? That's 8 people. So if we can go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Brother Moody. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Please, thank you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember, we serve a specific, we serve a God who is very specific. Amen. And when he says things, it's not by accident, you know. So in verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 2, it reads, "And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person." Remember, there's eight people. The eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah. Save Noah, the eighth person. And I wrote down here, right? The number eight is symbolic of new beginnings. So when we're reading in verse 13 of chapter 7, that eight right there, those eight people, amen. But Noah being the eighth person, the Bible specifically points it out. Noah being the eighth person, amen. That's the number of new beginnings. So God was going to destroy the earth, amen, and save Noah and his family. And that was going to be that new start. So that number eight, so again, God being specific, knowing beforehand what he was doing. No understanding beforehand, amen. That's why, I mean, we can never understand the fullness of God. But we just pray, Lord, just give me a little taste. Show me your glory. Just let me get on just a little bit. Amen. Because his ways are past finding out. Amen. Let's just read on a little more. We're almost done. Amen. So they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, the new beginning. Amen. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut them in. Amen. Remember, Pastor brought out how if it were up to Noah and the family, let's say, as if they're closing the door, amen, or if they have the door closed, then they have the ability to open and close. Don't you think as these people start to die, amen, and they're crying and they're Noah family, I mean, they're human. That human nature might kick in and might open the door. But the Lord was very specific. He said, I'm going to destroy all men. I'm going to save you and your family and the beast that we talked about. Amen. So Pastor brought it out very specifically how the Lord shut the door. And the scripture, that's why when that scripture talks about He shut up the door that no man can open it, and opened the door that no man can close. It starts to take on a bigger meaning, a better understanding. Amen. Because when God closes the door, no man can open it. It's sealed. It's sealed. Amen. I don't care what man says, if God opens the door, no man can close it. It's sealed. So if he opens the door and says, walk through. I don't care what's grabbing at you. I don't care what rises up against you. You can walk through because he opens a door that no man can close. And he closes a door that no man can open. Amen. Verse 17 reads, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. Verse 20, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. So verse 20 was, after getting through a couple verses, pretty clean. I thought, when we get to 20, I'm like, well, what is 15 cubits? And as I said, the song says, went to the doctor, he couldn't do it. Went to the preacher, he couldn't do it. I happened to reach out to Sister Siri, and she couldn't do it. Amen. But what I did find out, because I wanted to know what 15 cubits, I wanted to see. I wanted a visual. I'm that type of person. I can hear it, but if I see it, I'm a little better. Amen. So 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, and the mountains were covered. So above, I'm thinking the highest mountaintop, 15 cubits above that. So I found out that 1 cubit is 1.5 feet, 18 inches. So it's 1.5 feet. So 15 cubits is roughly 22 feet. So 22 feet above the highest peak, the highest mountaintop, amen, the waters and the floods rose above it. Amen. So if you think about that, 22 feet above it, right? Noah and his family are the only ones in the ark. The ark, the door of the ark is closed. And now this is covered over the face of the earth. So have any of us been in the middle of the ocean, or not even in the middle, but far out enough, went to take a whale watching or anything, been far out enough that you see, you can't see that thing.
Right?
Right? Well, 22 feet above the highest mountaintop. So even if you were in an area where you could see a thing, you couldn't see a thing for 40 days. Now, I know people can tread water and things, but 40 days is not happening. Especially in the hands of an angry God.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God knew what he was doing. Amen? So I wanted to point that out because, again, I'm a visual. So 22 feet above the highest tip on earth, those waters reach. Amen? Coming from out of the heavens and from underneath. Jesus, hallelujah. Verse 21. And again, I'm just about done. But verses 21 through 23, reading it a few times is for me. After we go over this, you might feel the same way. But it was very interesting what I found out. So let's read 21 through 23. And all the flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast. Whoever did something that was living. Somebody do something with the sound of God alone. If not, then will God do it? Amen. Amen. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth and every man. Verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. Notice that, of all that was in the dry land, died. Amen. Verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And I'll just read verse 24 and finish. And the water prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So that's, I think, like 5 months. But in verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. Does anything stick out to anybody about that? Say, what did we say?
Sister Nick? Fish.
Huh?
It didn't include the fish.
Thank you, Sister Nikki. Was I the one that didn't catch that? It didn't include the fish. Huh?
Exactly.
wouldn't say it. The fish were in the water. But just reading through the scripture, as I'm guilty of, exactly. She's saying they said dry land for those out in the community. All right? So I'm guilty of this. I've, in the past, especially when I'm not studying, like to preach or somewhere, or to speak, let's say. But sometimes you get into reading the scriptures and you're just reading the scriptures. So we don't want to say this, but we do wind up being guilty of what Pastor talks about, reading the scriptures as a novel almost. Understanding that's not novel because we have some understanding of certain things, right? We have some understanding of certain things. So it's not just as a novel, but sometimes we do just wind up reading and we don't really catch what is being said in it. So I'm thinking everything outside of what went on. But then I'm thinking, maybe, I never thought specifically of it, but maybe the fish were in the ark too. I don't know. But the fish were in the ark. And it points out in verse 22, of dry land, everything was dead. Of dry land, however, it went. Amen. So I found that to be very, very eye-opening. Amen. And I started to make up my own stuff. And I'm like, maybe that's why the octopus looks like it would. You know, because, like, things that would be, you know, I don't know. Like you know how the snapping turtles look? But they were on dry land too, so I don't know. But my point is, yes, ma'am. Absolutely, you're smarter than me, young lady. So can you say that in the mic so everybody can know why I'm saying you're smarter than me?
The scripture says that all of his nostrils was the breath of life.
Yes.
Fish don't take in breath, they take in water, so they couldn't have been in the ark at that point.
So now we see that that's why I'm saying you're smarter than me. I just read the scripture, I'm thinking everything was dead. You know what I'm saying? But I just thought that to be very interesting. And the last thing I wanted to say was, you know how some people believe that dinosaurs were destroyed with the flood? You know, they talk about millions of years and that. There's a lot of people that believe that the dinosaurs were destroyed with the flood as well. But if you think about it, of everything, land, animal, every land beast, and don't ask me if dinosaurs are clean or unclean. I think dinosaurs, maybe some of them may have scales. I don't know, something. I don't know. My point is this. So if they were on land, okay, Noah took pairs of them into the ark. So the dinosaurs couldn't have been destroyed in the flood because they would have reproduced. That was the purpose why God had him bring the animals into the ark, two by two, and was 7 2 by 2. Amen. So that they can reproduce.
Pastor explained that the dinosaurs were destroyed when Lucifer was cast out of heaven.
Absolutely. So why don't you come here and preach with me?
Okay.
No, I'm just pointing out how some people, you know, believe that, you know, the dinosaurs, because some people again don't accept the word of God. And don't accept the things of God, and so they're not going to accept how the Bible speaks of Jesus casting Lucifer casting Lucifer out of the heavens, amen. And that they talk about the Big Bang theory and all this other scientific nonsense. Yes, ma'am.
I just went back to a couple of them.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
First thing.
Yes,
first
yes.
Thing.
Okay. Waters of the flood were upon the earth. Then you went to verse 13. Self-same day, you're Noah. Amen. Amen. I receive that in Jesus' name. Amen. I receive it.
Was the same day that they went in.
Yes.
So God didn't wait for them to put that, to destroy, to do the arm of blood.
And then, one pastor pointed out, and I wasn't, I mean, he pointed this out in the service when, remember when he was talking about Methuselah? Methuselah, how, I'm not going to do any justice, so I wasn't going to mess with it, but I'm just going to get out here if we get back to that service. Is that where you were going, Brother Vincent? When Methuselah,
No, I wasn't.
Okay. So, you know, when Methuselah died, because Methuselah was, how old? 969. And something about the Jews understood that when Methuselah died, that after 7 days of flood was coming. Okay? So, I remember how he pointed out Methuselah died. So, the people should have known something was going to happen then. So Noah had been preaching for 120 years, but when Methuselah died, the Jews should have known, amen, that the floods were coming.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir, Pastor. Our elder Tisman.
One thing about the Word of God is the reality. Mentioned about the door being shut, God shutting the doors, and typically reality, as the water began to rise, you can imagine that many in their minds said, this man was right. And then there probably was a rush to the ark, and people pounding and knocking and banging, trying to get, but also too, when you talk about their being human, you can only imagine even relatives out there, you know, your cousin, your aunt, whoever it might be that was related, you would be very tempted to open the door and let them in. And that's why God did that.
Amen.
The other thing that I just want to point out in chapters 7 and the 8th chapter, growing up as a child in the church, you always said, 40 days and 40 nights. But if you see in chapter 7, it says that the second month they went in, and the second month they came out. So what we see here, we're looking at perhaps a year and 17 days in Iraq. You know, I could be wrong, but just think about that.
Well, when it's talking about the 40 days and 40 nights, it's speaking concerning the flood itself.
Yes, that's right.
And then after the flood was that pure water had
come down.
Yes. So after that flood, remember, I think chapter 8 goes into how Noah was sending the raven and the dove out and things of that nature. So, Yes, sir. So there was a period of time for the waters to completely cease from the earth. Before they came out of, so they went in, so they're talking those months, they went in and they came out of the heart of it, but the floods were on the face of the waters for of the earth for, you know, the rain and the coming up for 40 days and 40 nights. And just as you were saying, when you were talking about how at that point when the floods started to come up, people started to realize at that point that what he was saying is right. When you were saying that, it just gave me, what my mind went to was how we ought to be warning the people in the churches, understanding, you know what I mean? And at the time when somebody passes from time to eternity, that's the horror that they're experiencing right there. When judgment day comes, or when Christ cracks the sky, that's the horror that people are going to be experiencing. And even believers that have turned away, you know what I mean? is that, man, this was real. You know what I mean? So as you're saying that, I'm getting goosebumps because that's what I'm thinking about.
And I have to agree with you that that particular point in time, I was thinking the same thing, that it also speaks for a lot of time when we see missing from the church now, is they don't preach that God is a corrective God. They don't preach that God is a God of judgment. They preach love, they preach grace, they preach all these different things. But he that did often reproof shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And I think that's what's missing out of the church today. If they don't preach that he is a God that will judge you. And as we get to that point, Noah preached for 120 years. 120 years. God strove with him, but he said, my spirit will not strive with man for all time. He's like, I'm not going to play with you forever, but I'm going to give you a chance.
Yes.
So I was right there with you.
He's fine. I told you I had a minister friend. Y'all better get you a minister friend so you can use that phrase. That's a really good thing. I got a minister friend. Amen. Do we have any more over here? Amen. He has that minister voice too. His mic sounded a lot better than mine. Praise the Lord, sister.
Praise the Lord. This is another comment. We were reading about all that shut the door and no man could open it, you know. And it goes back to say where Jesus said, I am the door. By me, any man enter, we shall be saved. So God shut that door from Noah. So we have to go through Jesus. You know, so when we go through Jesus, which is the door, then we are going to be saved. And so because God shut the door when Noah went in, the gates were saved, and nobody was going to come in. So Jesus said, I am the door. Hallelujah. Come on. Pastor said, oh, you talk about that we have to, I live here, not even there, and that is specific, and everything is from the Old Testament, you know, it's a shadow of the good things to come. So, and you talk about the ark and how the door that God closed and shut, and then it goes back down there in the New Testament, and Jesus said, I am the door.
That's so right.
Come together, everything was coming together from the beginning. You know, I'm the
door. Somebody been paying attention to Bible study. But this is getting good because we started to preach to each other. I like this. You're getting fired up back here. But it's time to go. Hallelujah. We bless the Lord. Anything else? Amen. That was good stuff from y'all. Amen. Bless the Lord. I had a wonderful time on this evening. Amen. As we just need to come forward and play something. We always